Hey everybody, it's Mike Ryan Ruiz. Welcome into Mystery Crate. Why did I call myself Mike Ryan Ruiz? Oh, I did a Chelsea thing, and I refer to myself as Mike Ryan Ruiz on stuff that's outside of the show, but with the show, Mike Ryan. It's your boy, Mike Ryan. I got a special Mystery Crate episode for you this week. It is a Reddit AMA that I recorded several weeks ago with Mark. He runs the Levitard Reddit Twitter account and is one of the moderators on the actual fan page. And those who know me and know that Reddit page know that we're a bit oil and water, Reddit and me. But I wanted to do something for our fans, and I've done an AMA before, and I wanted to find a way to be able to engage with the Reddit audience and get content for you people that the vast majority of you don't go to the Reddit anyways. So this is a cool way to get the Reddit experience, although not a pure cut because Mark is a little kinder to me, and listen to a Mystery Crate episode. So we did one of these with Sarah Spain and her husband Brad. Sorry, I just had some pad thai. We did one of these with Sarah Spain and her husband Brad not too long ago. I did one with Mark in which I answered some of your questions direct to the show. I even volunteer some stuff. We get into the Michael character that a lot of people have their opinions on. So this should be an interesting listen to some fans, and then inevitably people will go on the Reddit and complain that Mark was too easy on me. So here you go. A segment that you will undoubtedly complain about on the Reddit. An AMA. All right, so we're here with Mark. He runs the Levitard Reddit. Mark, are you the only person that runs the Levitard Reddit? Are you the end-all and be-all, or are there other moderators?
There are, I should know the exact number, but there are about four or five of us that do the moderation, and I should know their usernames offhand, but I don't because I hate saying the names anyways, but there's Stiano is one of them, and this is terrible. Yeah, good start to the show.
A little bit of Stugatz in everybody. No, that's okay. Mark, you run the Twitter account, though, right?
I do. That's where I spend a majority of my time, quite frankly.
Yeah, that Twitter account's put me in a couple pickles because people think that that Twitter account's me. You know that?
Well, actually, if you search Levitard, I'm actually the first name that pops up.
Yeah.
So I've actually made a point to not say certain things, not be so obnoxious because people assume I'm Dan or you. So, yes, I'm well aware, and I try to keep that in mind.
All right, I'm going to change my tone already because I don't know if you can tell, but I already have my dukes up. I'm just defensive. Mark, you know, Reddit's very vocal. There's a very strong anti-Mike Ryan sentiment. This is a community outreach program right here. I'm not trying to win over the Reddit, but I'm hoping that I can answer some of their questions and they can have a deeper understanding of what it is I do. This is a full-on ask me anything Reddit style only. I'm not answering them on Reddit because every time I go there, I get PTSD and anxious and I can't feel my fingers. So we're going to do this via Zoom and record it and make some content out of it. And hopefully diehard fans of the Dan Levitard show with Stugatz can get some answers to some questions. And hopefully they don't infringe on my privacy or make me feel anxiety. Mark, with that being said, go ahead. What's the first question, bud?
I think a lot of people know your Browns story, so if you want to give people, I did get a few questions about why you like the Browns. I know it's uncomfortable, but for new
okay,
people.
Yeah, no, there's new people coming all the time, so it's actually a very Miami story. I wasn't born in Cleveland or anything like that. My abuelita was a Cuban exile, and the story with that is you leave all your money and possessions behind in Cuba, and you come here with nothing. So she was very poor in the United States, and she had to shop at dollar stores. And I don't know if you've ever been to Hialeah, but a lot of random things make their way to Hialeah, especially Hialeah dollar stores. So she would do a lot of her shopping there, and she would find these plates and napkins that, for whatever reason, were Cleveland Browns plates and napkins. And one Sunday, the Dolphins were playing the Browns. I recognized the helmet. I was on TV, and that was my team ever since. And that's how I became a Cleveland Browns fan, outside of the couple season period when they moved to Baltimore and the Browns were gone. I didn't follow them to Baltimore, obviously. I was a Dolphin fan for that little bit of period of time, and then I went back to the Browns, and it's the worst thing that's ever happened to me.
Yeah, I mean, too bad it wasn't Lions stuff. We could have been tortured together. So from Pop the Trunk wants to know, what's the end game, Spence? There's a lot of questions about what you want to do in 5 to 10 years, and I know it's a hard question to ask or answer because of you don't know what you're doing next week with everything that's going on, but do you see yourself more in front of the camera? Do you see yourself doing more producing? You know, when Dan finally leaves, what do you think is going to be next?
I don't know if Dan finally leaves within the window that you gave just now. I know that I like doing a lot of different things, and I'm enjoying my work with Chelsea Football Club and doing some more front of camera stuff there. I like being a hybrid. I look up to Jacoby, David Jacoby. I think he carved out a hybrid of someone that has influence behind the scenes, a very impressive producer, and also can do some stuff in front of camera and hosting podcasts. I really like to just do an amplified version of what I'm doing now. So that's the vision. Work with smart people and put out cool stuff.
Another important one. Do you eat fries one at a time or in bunches of three or four? This is from Fan and 10.
It all depends on how big the fry is. If it's a steak fry, one at a time. But if it's McDonald's fries, a couple at a time.
Do you wear a tie? Do you tie it every time? Or do you tie it once, take it off, and then put it back on the next time you wear it?
I tie it every time.
I figured as much. I thought that was a dumb question, schmoops. Tell us about your time as a pharma rep.
Oh my God. So this is actually the only real job that I had outside of working for the show. It's how I actually decided I wanted to work for the show, because I would listen to the show while I was at my desk cold calling. And anyone that has a sales background knows how fun that is. I was working for a pharmaceutical rep company in Miami, which is as shady as it sounds. I won't give the name of the company. So they would do veterinary supplies. That's where I really learned most of the stuff. And then we'd branch out, because the purchasing sort of applies to humans too. You get to know the purchasers and you build up accounts. So I would send a lot of veterinary heartworm stuff. Oh, Auburn. Shout out War Eagle. Huge account for me. They're veterinary school. I would send them so much Ivor Heart. It was crazy. And yeah, I hated it. It was terrible, awful. And one day I just had it, and I was laughing at work. It got me through very difficult work days, as I'm sure that's a story that resonates with our audience. They may not like their job, or they may get bored, and this show is a soundtrack to keep to my sanity. And I just decided, you know what? I'm going to go for this. And I did for close to 2 years. Now here I am.
Very cool. Let's see. The Don wants to know, when you're opening a straw, do you tap it to open it or do you tear it at the top?
Combination of both. No set go-to there. What about you?
Question. I think I'm a terror.
Yeah. If I had to say what I lean terror.
This is a trick question. You're supposed to say, I don't use straws anymore, Mark from the Reddit.
Mark,
care about for the environment.
Mark, I hate the paper straw thing. I hate the paper straw thing.
So, sexy corset man asks, you know, shocking question here. Would you rather have nipples as long as your fingers, or fingers as long as your nipples?
Are we talking about the whole areola or just the nipple?
It's like, if it's a whole areola, that's a lot of meat.
I have very flat nipples. Very flat nipples. I like my big hands. Having a nipple that long, though, I have, why this question? I guess nipples as long as my fingers, I could tape them down.
I put this in like last second. I went through and I had a lot of upvotes. I'm like, why is this being upvoted? I'll ask it.
Okay, nipples as long as my fingers, and I would just sort of tape them down. I do plenty of taping of my nipples anyway, so.
Let's see, Spence of 24, asking what your DJ sets. I guess this is more of a copyright issue, but have you ever recorded them? People want to listen after the fact. Is that something that's...
I haven't personally recorded my DJ sets. However, some of the gigs that I have done, other people have recorded and posted to SoundCloud. And I think anytime I go on Twitch, there are highlights of what I've done out there. I'm enjoying Twitch as a platform for it. But anytime I DJ Coconut Groove, I think they have a SoundCloud and they put all my Coconut Groove, which is a little bit deeper house sets, on their SoundCloud page. But yeah, I don't do that myself for reasons that you outlined. I really wish that I recorded the Shaq, Funhouse set, because that's quite honestly the most I prepared for a set, and I had visuals behind me, and I was feeling that I played for 30 additional minutes. Because Carnage, this DJ, was late, and I had a huge crowd there, and everything was just hitting right. It was the best set I've ever played.
So what, any good stories from that whole experience?
Yeah. Well, I remember, I have plenty of good stories from that. from sharing. So I get back there and they have all these cabanas for other DJs and it's huge, huge acts. Diddy's there, Pitbull's there, Tiesto's there, Diplo, and I'm going through the back. I'm there early because I'm super nervous and I want to make sure I'm prepared for this. I'm worried about traffic from Kendall to Wynwood, so I get there probably way too early. But I wanted to be able to do a sound check and see which equipment that I was working with, and thankfully they helped me out with that. So I scope the scene and see all these private cabanas for artists and quickly realize your boy doesn't have a cabana, which is totally fine and understandable. But they gave me a pretty sweet swag bag. I mean, awesome swag bag. I got like a really nice watch, really nice headphones. They gave me Reebok shoes, all this like Papa John's stuff because I think Shaq's a big investor in that. So it was cool and they let me stay in Tiesto's cabana. So I spent the majority of my time preparing for that set just staring at Tiesto's couch and a Papa John's bag that said Tiesto on it, which was pretty wild. And I'm supposed to go on, I think, around 7, but 7 o'clock comes and goes, and there's a dude in a forklift hanging like a Kobe Bryant jersey up, and all the lights are on, and it's super empty. I'm like, there's no way this starts on time. And they say, no, you go on in 5 minutes. And I go on while some of this stuff is still happening, and I'm playing in front of 15 people, which is not very fun. But whatever, I'm in the zone, making the most of it. Slowly but surely, more people go there, but I immediately start getting nervous because I asked my friend Ric Flair to come and say something to that, and I know already that the Nature Boy doesn't play empty arenas. Confirmed, he actually said that exact same quote to Dan. Thank God for Dominique Foxworth, who coaxed the Nature Boy up there. And as soon as the Nature Boy went up to the stage, went on the mic and introduced me, which I can't thank him enough. It was so cool. Huge rush of people went over there because, what the hell is this? Nature Boy's there. And I kept the crowd there. The guy that was after me was a pretty big DJ, and he was late. And so I played to thousands of people when it started with a smattering of 15 people, and that was a really cool experience. I'm eternally grateful to Ric Flair for putting me over.
That's pretty cool. Let's see. One more, I guess, personal question. What's the best WrestleMania you've ever seen? And then maybe the best match?
Ooh. Wow.
This is from user Harry_Twink. So,
Jesus Christ. Best WrestleMania I've ever been to is... I know a lot of, so I take the entire experience, right? The New Orleans WrestleManias for me are unmatched in terms of, that's just a perfect city. Bourbon Street is completely taken over. There's cosplay everywhere. It's just an absolute trip. So anytime WrestleMania is in New Orleans, that for me are the best. I really like the two Orlando ones that I went to. The second one, I got to bring my wife and my dad came, and that was really cool. That was a really fun way to do it. In terms of card, I actually really like the Miami card because the Rock Cena match was so fun. I was, in terms of sporting event, it felt like a team won a championship when the Rock went. So that's a long answer to this question, but the best match I've ever seen was the first match between The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels in their series of two. That was just, it's unbelievable. Still holds up.
I haven't watched a wrestling match since Val Venus in 1999, I think, so I'm a little behind. I don't quite follow.
I'm actually watching a lot of Val Venus. I mentioned this on a recent episode of Mystery Crate. Dan and I, we just do our job, and there's wrestling constantly on the one screen because we don't have a cable package. So, but it's a smart TV, so I log into WWE Network, and all I do is play old wrestling cards. I've really gotten into it here over the last 2 months because even Dan's fixated by Rey Mysterio Jr. He's like, how long has this guy been doing this? He's so tiny. He's amazing.
It had like a nice resurgence, like 96 to 2000, obviously with The Rock and everything. And I remember everyone was watching it then, and it kind of faded away, and now it seems to be back again. So,
yeah, no, it's not really back right now.
It's struggling
right now.
You all the time, I assume it is.
Yeah, no, it's struggling right now. It's posting the lowest ratings it has in like 27 years.
Good observation, man. All right, now back to more show specific questions. So, few questions about how you get to stuff so quickly, and I assume it's just tags and like sound bites, for example. Like, how are you able to pull stuff quickly? So a lot of people want to know how that's organized.
Okay.
Kind of behind the scenes type question.
So working with Dan and Sue as long as I have, I kind of know where they're going as soon as Dan mentions something. For instance, if Ludacris comes up in conversation, I already know to start looking for the Ludacris watch clip. If Dwayne Wade comes up in conversation, I already know that sooner or later, Dan's going to ask for Wade Jones. But it's actually, we have a huge archive, as you can imagine. I have basically two different places that I can play sound from. And most of it is just off a utility PC that has a huge, we call it the J drive, that has an archive of all the sounds that we ever have. And thankfully, I remember back in the days when it didn't have a search feature. So you would have to organize everything alphabetically and just scroll down like the Matrix and try to find the one specific clip that you're trying to find, which, well, it would take a lot longer. But thankfully, they have a search function now. So I can just search a keyword and then several dozen options come up for me, and then I can identify the sound clip that I'm looking for. The tricky part is we need to make sure that we're super organized in terms of our archiving. And we've caught ourselves before, whether it's sometimes Chris saves something or I save something and I don't really recall. It doesn't really make sense. We constantly have to change what sound bites are called, because the functionality of I'm looking for Les Miles talking about an oil slick, and it just says LSU football coach Miles, but doesn't mention anything about oil. So you have to make sure that you're super organized and make sure you put key phrases in the save file that you're looking for, because you may not be able to remember the file name, but you can remember some of the notes that sound hits. So that's how we do it. The search function was a game changer for us.
So Chris the Pirate asked about Russell Brand, that there was a few segments with him and it kind of went away. Is this ringing a bell? Or
Yeah. Where Dan does a talk to you tomorrow bit and they stop coming. So here's the deal. Dan just says talk to you tomorrow, and that's not really how guest booking works. Sometimes the person can have fun. A bigger star like that, that you don't have a direct contact to, that you book through an intermediary, is tougher to get on a daily basis. But that doesn't stop Dan from saying talk to you tomorrow. So shout out to Allison Turner and now Billy, who's really taken more of an active role in the guest booking fairly recently. They have a very difficult job. Dan puts guest bookers in a very difficult position on our show.
I guess Allison, so is she still officially helping with the show, or is she just doing more shows?
She helps with other bookings across ESPN, but yes, she still actively books for our show.
I'm speaking for everyone here, but I think people love her. I think she is so funny, and people were very sad to see her go, that she's not in the studio anymore. I think would love to see her back someday, but I guess I understand, but she's kind of a fan favorite that.
Yes. I loved her on air too. She was a great on-air character. Her and Billy had me rolling sometimes, and I wish we would do that more. But even when she was in the studio, she didn't really want to do it all that much. So she pops up on some mystery crates and some local hours. I heard a recent one. It seems as though she's in a relationship, so that's very exciting for her. So the Billy Allison dynamic does live on through the local hours and mystery crates.
Let's see here. What brings you more stress, Dan's outspokenness or Stu Gotz's laziness? This is from PQ Leg, whatever that name is.
Easy, Dan's outspokenness. Yeah, I've often said that Stu Gotz is the most honest relationship in my life, because I just already assume everything he says is a lie. And so I know exactly what that dude's angle is. And it's true serum for me. Doesn't matter what he says. I know what the truth is. So Stu Gotz really doesn't bring me much stress. He likes to go rogue sometimes behind the scenes and put us in difficult spots. I think sometimes he likes to play. The Stu Gotz character is a nice little crutch sometimes, because you can just say, it's Stu Gotz. But sometimes I think he knows what he's doing. Smarter than he lets on, that guy.
Yeah, for sure. Dan made a comment the other day about keep your daughters in line to Stu. All the background noise, and Stu seemed to get actually mad. So I guess the question is, this is from FBG Corp. How often is there an actual real apology from an on-air back and forth? Or is it now at this point, they're like a married couple and they just kind of get over it?
Married couples still have arguments, right?
Well, I especially, guess that's not the right analogy, but you know what I'm saying. Is it just part of the show and they know, and then they get over it real quick, or is there?
We've been doing this show for a very long time. There's a lot of personalities, and I know we're not in the pandemic. We're doing this remotely from our homes, but normally we're broadcasting from very tight spaces. You can't go and take a lap and collect yourself. If you get heated over something, inevitably you're going to get on each other's nerves. Inevitably you're going to do something that the other person feels is like is crossing the line or takes offense to. I've had a million apologies issued. I've received several apologies. Over the course of the year, there's strong disagreements like any band that's been together for 15 years. It's a very long time to do anything, especially this, with the burden of content being what it is. We put stuff out there and we welcome people into our lives, and sometimes that's fodder for the show, and you could just say the wrong thing at the wrong time. So that's totally normal. But they're good. They're good. And they wouldn't be together still if they weren't good at patching things up.
For sure. Drunk Ohioan asks, is there a favorite bit or character of yours that has just never made the show? And
a favorite bitter character?
No, sorry, bit or character. There's something that you think is funny that Dan thinks terrible and won't allow it, although I, seeing some of the characters that made the show, I don't think that's likely.
You think we have such a high standard that we develop that's these characters saying, and we say, this is not fully baked, it's not ready to go to air. No, I will say it probably works the other way. There are characters that people like that we just don't like doing. For instance, I hate Death Metal Hockey Guy. I think it's not at all funny. Not at all funny and super grating. And some people like it, and unfortunately Dan likes it. But I hate that character. It's so bad. It's bad.
More of a far away a Mike Surfer dude person.
That one's my favorite. That one's my favorite. Well, Michael was my favorite, but it was a bad time to do. It was just a bad time, the Michael thing. But
if someone asked if that's ever coming back, and
it's funny.
I don't think it really fits.
It's really funny anytime I see feedback. I don't know if you've noticed on the Reddit, but as time has gone by, Michael is viewed more favorably than when it was happening. I think people didn't give us a benefit of the doubt that we were telling a story. I think we're pretty good at knowing when to leave the party. And people, when Chris jumped aboard the bit, which was always the plan, to have him as a stooge, but in retrospect, I probably should have had Chris join in a day earlier to sort of tell that story. The whole intention behind Michael was we were launching the network. We were having this Levitard and Friends event in New York that we needed to promote. There was a lot of promotion for stuff, and it was coming at a time where there was a lot of dangerous topics out there. So rather than the audience beat us to the punch and say, these guys have sold out, these guys are shoving promotion down my neck, we thought we'd be the first people to make fun of us. And it allowed us to sort of parody the people that we were having discussions with at ESPN. It actually worked out quite well visually. And I think the podcasters missed out on a lot of good gems, but unfortunately it was a layered bit in that way. Whether there were silent sight gags just for camera, if it's me holding up a placard that says, talk about the AL East, that stuff could go a long way if someone had the visual for it. But yeah, there was a lot of hostility for that bit. And quite honestly, it scares me away from doing something as big as that, because that was a lot of planning went into that. There was a fully fleshed out idea. It was supposed to go on a little bit longer than it did, but I bailed on it just because, look, it was divisive with even in my own studio. I'm not really sure people knew exactly what I was going for. Now, with the benefit of hindsight, you see the bit start to finish and realize with everything that was going on, there was intention to it. But yeah, I'm also not here to say you guys just don't get it. For some people, it just flatly was annoying. That was part of the intention, and I can see why that was a divisive bit, but it's one of the more challenging things that I've done on the air.
I think this is like your Paul's Boutique, your Pinkerton, where as time goes on, people look back more fondly
I like the Weezer reference. I always like Pinkerton, and yeah. Pinkerton got panned, and now, like you said, as time has gone by, people realize that Pinkerton, that might actually be their best album. So we'll see.
Let's see here. Most scared you've ever been on the show? I assume this is probably Dan related, but.
Most scared I've ever been on the show. There's a couple times. There's been a couple times that I've been scared when I was working beneath Hawk. Like when the Iron Sheik cursed as much as he did on the air, that was scary, because Jack Thompson, a famous SEC lawyer, was always calling in at the station, and he would always file complaints. And given the financial situation of 790 the ticket back then, an FCC complaint would have probably been the end of that station. So I was scared about that. I was scared. The first guest I ever booked was Tim Hardaway when he said all that stuff that he said. Yeah. So at first, my initial reaction was like, yeah, all right, major news. And then I realized there's a person here. People were very offended by this. I felt bad for putting Tim Hardaway in that position. I know Dan's articulated this. He feels bad, too, for how that all went out. Tim is fine with everything. I didn't really get the gravity of the situation until news trucks were coming over. And I was like, oh, damn. And obviously, the stuff when I was, that went down when I was in Fort Wayne, Indiana, that wasn't fun to be, picked up on by the blogs and have a whole bunch of people that maybe were leaving you alone all of a sudden enter your space again. And you had to be careful. That wasn't very fun.
Here you. Couple more I got. So mainly about people think it's just a fun, easy job. And I'm sure there are things behind the scenes you guys have to do to prep for a show. So, I guess, this is from Gray Cardigan. So how difficult is the job in the shipping container? What's something people maybe don't realize that goes into it?
So Billy does a lot of work on sound and a lot. And there are often shows, like I think we've gone weeks on end without going to sound. So that's very time consuming. But big audio benchmarks like the Sueys or March Sadness is always a massive undertaking. Whether it's securing a vocal talent, organizing the sounds for every sound that you hear, there are 25 that don't make the cut. And organizing that and compiling that, making sure that we have an organized Google Drive system. A lot of the things that we write are collaborative. We put something out on an email, ask for people to help write. Everyone sort of helps pull the rope. Some days they'll have more of a role on the on-air specific content, or they're pulling a heavier load on the digital network that we have. But it's all for the one shared common goal, which is let's just put good stuff out there, stuff that our fans will like. Hopefully we get new fans, grow the show, grow the brand, grow the digital property. So as this industry continues to change, we're in the best possible position right now. So to answer your question, we're all multifaceted in what we do. My job one week might not be the same job the next week. Right now, I'm concentrating more on the digital audio network and producing bits. And most of the montages you hear, Billy produces, but Chris has a role in grabbing some of the work parts. So it's very collaborative, very collaborative.
So the username Boyman Godshit asks about your music. So he asked about, you have a Spotify account, which I know you're on Apple now. And actually, if people don't know, if you go on the Reddit, there's a link to a Spotify playlist with someone cataloged all your music from the last decade. Are you going to be posting songs on Twitter again anytime soon? Or is that a pain in the ass?
It's a pain. Yeah, it's just a pain. And I don't know how. I know there are people out there that really enjoyed seeing it, and I understand, but I still have to log all the songs, so it might be as simple as taking a screen cap of stuff, which is what I did before, and then repurposing it, but it's just an extra thing that I had to do, and my workload got to a point which was insane as we were launching the audio network, and that was just an easy thing to take off my plate, and I understand it sounds so simple and stupid to let that go, but I mean, I had my plate was overflowing, and that was just a couple of kernels that fell off the plate, but it made all the difference in the world at the time. So I don't see us going back to that.
I hear you. 86 Celtics or 97 Bulls?
97 Bulls.
97 Bulls or 91 Pistons?
97 Bulls, Mark. I know what your angle is there. 2013 Heat.
That's fair. How's the baby? So how's fatherhood? Anything surprising? Obviously, there are things that are surprising, but what's the most surprising thing or easiest thing, hardest thing?
Pandemic has made me one kick-ass dad. I had a local hour with Pablo Torre. And look, my wife and I, we like going out. And even when we had the baby, thankfully, we have a great support system. But this has really forced me in particular to stay home and see as much development as I have. I wish at times that I had the same setup as the other guys, because being home with my child at this age specifically is incredible. She's about 8 months old now, and it's unbelievable. It's everything that people made it out to be and more. There are incredible rewards there. I'm still pretty private about that stuff. I don't post on social media outside of the announcement. Those that got in on following my wife before she made her account private see the progress of my baby, but I really enjoy my privacy in that regard. Partly it's the fault of the Reddit. The Reddit is just so cavalier about weighing in on people's personal lives, and I've seen some really horrible things out there that people post about, and I just said, this baby is just mine. This is not fodder for a message board, so I keep it private.
Babies are a lot of likes, though, so you may want to rethink this. You can get a few thousand.
Yeah, you know
like
me,
that,
man.
With a nice baby
I don't see the compliments. I see the one person that says something bad about the size of her head.
Let's see. I think that's all of them. I know we don't have enough time. Someone asked about your dad's text, but I know we're out of time. So
yeah, I'm sorry. We'll get to that the next AMA.
And by the way, the other moderators, Jujubes. It's Tiano. These are the two guys that make it look really nice. So if you go on our Reddit, so if you search, just Google search Lebatard Reddit, we'll pop right up. These two guys have done it all. They make it look unbelievable. And if you have a question about the show, go to Google, type it in, type Lebatard Reddit at the end of whatever your question is, and I guarantee someone's asked it. You can find it. You can find clips. Any question about the show is on there. So it's like a really nice resource at this point. Or you can obviously message me on Twitter, which people like to do, and have people find clips for people.
I go on there and I often answer questions. Some of the, I'm surprised I didn't get any Trump gods questions. That was interesting. I dodged a bullet there, I guess. But I've actually addressed that question in the Reddit. I gave a very detailed answer one day, I think like at midnight, one night. It's huge. So go to the Reddit and find out what exactly happened there. That's a plug for the Reddit. How can people find the Reddit? Obviously searching Lebatard on Reddit itself, but we can follow you on Twitter and you post out direct links all the time. How do people follow you?
So Twitter's Lebatard_Reddit. We're closing in almost 50,000 followers, which is unbelievable for a silly account that just kind of follows the show. And we appreciate all your support. You're very nice. I think I emailed you like 4 years ago. I'm like, hey, I'm starting this. Can you retweet it? And you did. And now we have like 30,000 people on who actually like subscribe to the Reddit.
I often think about that day, Mark.
I know. Life changed forever. So you want to apologize for all the horrible things you said just yesterday?
No.
All we've done for you. Your show was nothing before we came along. A little Miami show at 1 o'clock. Who listens to the radio at 1 o'clock? Now you're national, 10 o'clock, nationwide. You have Fort Wayne people organizing major events for you. What were you doing 5 years ago, Mike? Nothing. You're sitting at home in Miami. You weren't DJing.
Very true.
You weren't doing anything. Now you're doing Shaq events for thousands of people.
Yeah. Excellent point. And look, I like, it's good for on air too. I like having the foil of the Reddit there. And, there's a lot of great stuff that goes on in that community. A lot of good ideas. A lot of bits have been born from stuff that I see on the Reddit.
Stolen from the Reddit.
Inspired by the Reddit, I'd like to say. Fleshed out and put our own voice. Oh, and they do a lot of good supplemental stuff too. They make some of our ideas better, whether it's like a reoccurring bit. I go there. The looks like it's an incredible resource for us. It's an unseated, uncredited producer on our show oftentimes. And sometimes it's just flatly a dick. So there's, you take the good and the bad, with the Reddit, but to have fans that care that much is an unbelievable blessing. And anytime, no matter what they say about me or some of the stuff on the show, anytime someone from the outside goes at anybody from the show or any bit from the show, they have all sorts of infighting, but heaven forbid someone from the outside try to attack the show because they are legion and they are proud. Yeah, so I'm very grateful that a community like the Reddit exists. Regardless of individual opinions there, it's, other shows don't have this community on Reddit. It's very, there are huge, massive shows out there, huge digital properties that simply do not have the Reddit community that the Lebatard and Sugat show has. I think it's the most impressive Reddit community out of any show of its kind. And you have a lot of credit owed to you for that, Mark.
Apology accepted, Mike Ryan.
That was an apology, right? No.
I think so. Whatever.
No. It wasn't. All right, Mark, thank you so much, and hopefully we can do this again. And make sure to check out that Reddit, because they do traditional AMAs all the time. Mina Kimes has done a couple. any of the AMAs that have been done on there, you can find with a simple search of the taskbar there, right, Mark?
That's right. So we've done literally everyone who's been on the show, except for Dan, which we've gone back and forth with him. I know he's busy. So, but literally, we've done anyone who's been a co-host on the show has done one at this point. So, yeah, search for their name in AMA and it'll pop up.
Well, this is a good evolution. Maybe this is the best possible way to get Dan to do one of these where we can actually turn it into content because we are turning out a lot. So I like doing it this way. Mark, thank you so much for joining us here on the Mystery Crate. And hopefully maybe we can do this again and more questions come of this and people enjoyed it. Or I'll just get dragged on the Reddit message board, which is usually the case.
That's probably more likely.
Yeah. All right, Mark. Take care.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Interesting timing on that, considering right now, if you check Reddit and you search my name, it's not the greatest. But that's all right. Comes with the territory. It's part of the deal. Thankfully, we have a passionate community that seems to forget that I had a hand in building the show that they love so much and just project all the bad things. But it's cool. It's cool. It's fine. I'm not hurt by it. I take it personally. And I need to quit checking it, even though sometimes it's a good resource. Damn, it's a catch-22. It really is. Either way, Mystery Crate, we ramped up our output, delivered more and more episodes for you. Hopefully some of you are getting back into real life, getting your commute back. We appreciate the support, recent support for our radio show. Really proud of the shows that we've done recently. Make sure to subscribe to the show if you're getting back out there, getting your commute in. Maybe some places have gyms that are opening and you need something to listen to. The Levitard Show with Sue Gatz is there for you, as well as our Levitard AF digital audio network. We thank you for your support. Hopefully, we've been there for you during a difficult time. You can repay us with a subscription or a follow on your favorite platform of choice. We'd really appreciate that, as that is our currency over here. Thanks so much for checking us out here on the Mystery Crate. Let us know if you want us to do more of these AMAs. I like the concept. I feel bad for Mark because I feel like some of you are going to say you took it easy on me. And that stinks anytime the Reddit gangs up on you. So I'm sorry to Mark already, but welcome to my world, baby.